The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From sunny California to the world, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diane. And now, remember, the show is free. Here's Nate.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Welcome to the Monday episode. The second Monday episode ever.
Good golly, I am full of piss and vinegar.
Right?
I am just flustered.
It makes it sound like
GD it.
Really special, doesn't it?
I'm going to punch someone right in the a-hole. I'm just so PO'd.
You want to do some fisting?
I'm into fisting.
Shocking.
Just a shocker.
He prefers that.
All right, so if your kids are listening with you right now, you may want to stop this and pick it up at a time when the kids aren't there.
Or we can explain to them what a shocker is.
You're going to have a lot of questions to answer about the shocker. You know, two in the pink, one in the sink.
Uh-huh.
That's the shocker.
That's the shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. It's a little different in Sam's case when he gets it done, but very similar.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Like two in the pee hole? Good God.
Is that a thing?
No, I'm figuring if the one in the stinker.
No, it's
carry
two,
on.
No, it's two in the stink for you.
Okay.
And one in the pee hole.
Oh, okay. That's more fitting.
So you're giving it the flip.
You get a, yeah, it's a. It
makes
flip.
Sense.
Yeah, it's a flip.
Does it?
It makes a lot of sense. It's really...
Okay.
It's quite sensical.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show today, Kirk Cameron's got some thoughts on marriage, and he's been married quite a while.
That guy can suck a dick.
Oh.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe if he had, we wouldn't have to hear from him.
Well,
true.
We'll also break down the White House Correspondents' Dinner a little bit. Well, the ladies on The View did. We'll react to them reacting.
The Vag?
Yeah, well, they all have one.
That's what I call that show.
Allegedly.
I hate that show.
Mm?
I don't mind it.
Oh, it's just... it's just a bunch of intense hormones or...
It's a lot of yelling at each
it's
other.
It's a lot
being,
of yelling.
It's a lot of yelling and being offended.
Yes, so that's exactly right.
We'll talk about all that, but first, we're going to start on the unfucking censored episode of the show with the airing of the grievances.
Shit.
Exactly. I think Kareem sort of aired a grievance on last Wednesday's
yes.
show.
And in between shows.
About his cousin in the car purchase or the attempted
one.
Right.
So.
And just before hitting record on this show, he was telling us a little something about
another
weekend plan.
Yeah, another thing. You know, if he wanted it out there, he probably would mention it on the show.
Yes. I'm sorry.
So don't call him out.
I'm going to leave that off the show.
I'm going to leave that off the show.
There's
my apologies.
There's enough trouble going on with that situation for me to be airing it to everybody. Yeah,
that's not what you air.
Kareem's new grievance is you bringing shit up from between the
I
shows.
I was talking about
show.
His big decision about getting the tight pants or the loose pants.
What are you talking about?
He was really grieved because he finally confessed he likes tight pants.
Don't try to hide it now, Sam.
I do have a grievance that came up on my way here.
Oh, do tell.
I hate fucking people who pull out in front of you and go 20 miles per hour
like they're in a hurry and then
go
they slow
to
down.
The next fucking parking lot.
Uh-huh. Oh my fucking God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Preach it.
Yeah. To the next like
that's
you
some bullshit.
Really couldn't wait till I got past to go to the next parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were
and you look in the rearview mirror, there's no one
there's
behind
nobody
you.
Behind you. Yeah, no.
So they pulled out in front of you just to inconvenience you.
Yeah, just to go to the next parking lot. Yeah.
They're right there with those people who will like speed up to get in front of you and then go slower than the other people in the slow lane. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Well, I experienced
what are you doing?
All three of those on my way here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a
God
guy
save
who
you.
Pulled over in front of me to turn into a parking lot.
Right, classic.
Classic, yeah. It cut me off, you know, and... I have a sports car now.
Yes.
And so, you know, I was already I was gearing up to get to the freeway and he just pulled over, almost hit me and pulled over and cut me off.
Punk ass bitch.
And then on my way down the street from here, this asshole pulls out of one parking lot to go into the other and I had to slam on my brake. I'm like, really?
What an asshole.
Fucker.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to, when you said fucking people, you hate fucking people. Like pulling out in front of you, I thought it was gonna be a whole different conversation. I thought it was gonna be something completely different.
Yeah, no. You thought it was gonna be he's really upset when people don't just blow their load deep inside someone else.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like I was like, I didn't take you for a cream pie type of guy, but
It is the Uncensored Show. You're welcome, everybody.
I think you were confusing me with Sam.
Oh, yep, I was. Sorry. Yeah.
Jason, anything pissing you off this week?
Oh, man. Okay, so this past, when you're listening to this, 2 weeks before this, I had moved into my new house. And I was very good about notifying people like a couple of days in advance that said they'd help move and stuff like that. My brother and my cousin.
Oh, good for you.
I know, you're right? Saying, yeah, I tried to be – and I said, hey, we'll have donuts free in the morning. Ooh. And then we'll have pizza at when you guys are done, pizza and beer, normal, you know, move stuff. And we'd already had pretty much everything out of the house, a few boxes and our big stuff. So,
yeah, I remember you saying it was just furniture and heavier stuff.
Yeah.
And that's very courteous because a lot of times I've helped people – and they're still packing boxes.
Oh, yeah,
I'm kind of sitting there like, what's up?
Yeah, no, we weren't doing that because we both experienced that before.
Right.
And we're like, we're not going to put people through that. Let's make this.
Those are usually female people.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
So we got there. And it was just one trip. We got, but to start it off, the way the morning started was my wife telling me, is your brother on his way? He just was texting in a group text that we're part of about like a thing that we're doing in a couple weekends. Like he's texting somebody at like 9:55 and everybody knows they're supposed to be there at 10 because I picked up the U-Haul truck at 9:30.
Right.
And he's texting somebody and like on this thing. And then he's like, and my wife's like,
busted.
And she's like, Jason, can you talk to your brother and see what's going on when he plans on coming here? Because he lives in Gaul. He's a half hour away. So we're going to have to wait at least a half hour. And he has
maybe
his
he's
wife.
Texting and driving, which really grinds my gears.
And that would have been really pissed off my wife also. Well, so I call him up. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys are still moving, right? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah.
No, we decided we're going to stay in the old house.
So you guys aren't finished? There'll be stuff for me to do still? I'm like, yeah, please get me. I mean, like, yeah, there's stuff to do because you're
depending.
The muscles. Yeah. Like, you're part of the muscles that's coming. So this is what happened. So my wife got that. She got that information. And then my cousin also got called into work that morning and he had to do some at work. So he was going to be late, but that's a valid
excuse.
Expected. That's a valid excuse.
Yeah.
But like she hears that and then my brother also. So she thinks the two guys that are going to be helping lift most of the heavy stuff have canceled and she's eating a cream donut and she just like threw it on the ground.
What? The cream donut?
Yes. Like with
you
the
know
cream.
She's pissed.
She was, yeah, she was fucking livid. And like I was like, babe, she's allowed to. She's pregnant. She's allowed to have her fits of, you know, being upset. So that's so listen, if you're gonna help somebody move, like, and you say that like they tell you and you plan and like, they're gonna get donuts for
stick
you
stick to
and,
the commitment,
like,
right?
Yeah, like be there at fucking 10, dude. Yeah. Hey bro, I love you. You're great. You took care of me when I broke my leg. You lived with me. You changed my piss spot. You get a lot of passes.
Right.
But at the same time, be on fucking time and don't be fucking. And if you're not going to be on time, you can make up a fucking excuse, but don't text people in a fucking group message that everybody else is part of. Don't fucking do it. Don't out yourself. Because then I have to fucking explain to my wife. All right? You son of a bitch. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
right.
Be late. I'm fine.
Boy, here's the thing. You know those people. You knew they were going to be fucking late when they said they were going to help you move. And if
That's what I told my wife. I was like, well, it's all right, babe. They're going to be here. Don't worry about it. I had to calm her. That's my place in the marriage.
Yes.
I calm her down.
She was upset with her own unrealistic expectations. Anytime your friends say, we're going to move at 9 o'clock, that means they're going to be there about 10:30.
Yeah, right. I know.
Oh, yeah, you have to tell people. You have to lie to them.
I know. I should.
You have to lie to them. If you want to start moving at 10, you tell them 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if they show up early while you're off picking up the U-Haul, you just say, oh, sorry, yeah, the U-Haul wasn't ready when it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And blame those fuckers because they're always late.
And just have your wife start telling them which stuff she wants to move first, and then they can start bringing the big stuff to the front so they can put it in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was.
So on your next house, you know.
Now I know. And knowing
is half the battle.
Knowledge is power.
G.I. Joe.
Sam, did you have anything in
particular? I sure do.
Go ahead.
I'll try and make this brief. I guess if I was going to cast a wide net so everyone can relate, it has to do with you're living in a place and you find out the current neighbors, who you don't necessarily dislike, but they've got. They've got certain quirks about them that irk you.
That they're assholes?
They're assholes. You find that they're moving, and you celebrate, and you're like, well, I'm sure hoping for some swell neighbor to move in.
No.
Never happens.
Never happens.
Well, it's like it's been progressively worse. First, it was just this lady. I was like, she's by herself. And when I'm talking to the landlord, he's like, actually, she said she had a kid with her. I was like, oh, really? I haven't seen the kid.
She had buried him in the backyard.
Must have. Well, now there's like three kids running around. It's a duplex.
Oh, she left one behind. That's what it is.
And then suddenly there's a dog. And I love dogs, but it's a big old German Shepherd. And I have this pathway from my door. I've got like two lawns and this little squiggly pathway that goes to where my car's parked. And because I'm lazy, I often just walk across this tiny lawn to my car. And late to work, I step on a squishy, slimy, hot turd. Nice dog dookie.
It's on.
Now my car smells like poop. Now I'm walking to work with poop on my shoe. It's just that ruined my fucking day. I'm going to a shoot after that. I'm in the van, and my coworker's like, something smells in here.
Yeah,
oh, that's my fucking shoot with shit on it. No, trust me. I went on the sidewalk. I went trying to scrape that shit off. It sounds like I'm in the doghouse now. Okay, so I hope you have something with a little kitty cat, because when I finally confront the neighbor about the dog, they handle it. I've seen other turds on there. Nice. And they've come and cleaned up the turds without me even asking within like an hour or two. So that's legit. I built a garden. I spent probably $50 in supplies to build my raised garden and put the dirt in there and then the seeds and the plants. And I'm growing something very nice. I've got my tomato plants. I've got but in the section where it's just seeds, and I'm anticipating little sprouts coming out. And I start seeing precious little green fleshy fingers sticking out of the dirt. I'm like, one day you're going to be a carrot. One day you're going to be a little sweet pea, and I'm going to just buy it into you. But then I wake up one morning. I go out to check out my garden. The dirt's been moved around, and there's three kitty cat turds.
Sam built a litter box.
And they ruined my peas and carrots. And that grinds my gears. So now I had to spend another $20 on chicken wire and wood so I can keep the goddamn cats out of my garden. I'm sorry. I'm done. That's all.
Thanks again to the Rock Clock for the...
That was fan. Right on cue. That was right on.
Sam, dude. You should just know that a raised flat, like, vegetable
it's a giant
garden...
This is the thing, is that cat never shows its face.
But if you look at any hipster, like, do it yourself, that's what's going to happen.
Ring,
okay.
I mean, like, they tell
you. You got to add some kind of protective surrounder.
You got to. Because those kitty cats love shitting in your garden.
Dude.
They love laying a fat duke.
And the worst part is they're digging, trying to bury their turds.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're
fucking throwing my seeds all over the place.
But at the same time, at least they're decent animals enough to
cover their shit.
Right. Dogs don't even fucking do that.
You're right.
And you're that dog, I want to say that I have a grievance with
you.
You
are right.
I have a grievance with you for not taking your fucking shoe off and cleaning it before you fucking went anywhere. At least have the comments.
I was late.
No,
I said that in my story.
At least I don't give a fuck. You go to the fucking bathroom, the public bathroom, you take your fucking shoe off and you wash that shit and you fucking get
this
it taken
This is the
care.
Thing.
No.
I
no,
had a shoot
no.
with our highest paying client at the station. And I was already running late.
So
you
better
go
have
with a shitty shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
No, because you know what?
I cleaned it as soon as I got to the bathroom after we got to the shoot on time.
But what you do, though, is you say, hey, I'm sorry. I had shit on my shoe. I did not want to subject you to the smell in the fucking van.
I'll take that. I think that's a valid thing. I will take that. Thank you, Jason.
I love that he dragged his shitty shoe to the highest paying client and then washed it off in their bathroom.
In their bathroom.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that you show up on time. First impressions are the most important thing.
You know, but if you say to him, I had shit on my shoe.
With shit on your shoe, you might as well have.
Well, I intentionally was chewing a lot of minty gum and breathing
heavily
so they can smell my breath.
Yeah, because that covers up smell dog shit.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, no.
I have shit on my shoe right now. Did you smell it?
You know what, Sam? I'd be really surprised.
Oh, my God.
I'm just blowing at their face.
Yeah, and they're probably thinking, like, your breath smells like minty fucking shit.
Well, at least...
No, it's like, no.
Some people have... What's that condition where you have perpetual bad breath?
Halitosis.
That's it, you know?
Did he toss salad last night? Yeah. He tried to cover it with some minty gum.
Sounds like... it smells like he was just down in that little penny, just eating on at that little that little penny.
He tossed somebody salad last night trying to cover up with gum.
We got a little live active cultures going on in there.
Ah, Jesus.
Sorry about it.
Well, my,
what the fuck?
My grievance is more along the lines with Kareem's, because I drove to L.A. on Friday and back on Sunday. And if you drive from the state of California, they have something called the split speed limit. And what that means is if you're driving a truck or towing a trailer, the speed limit on the highway is 55.
Right.
Now, for cars, it's anywhere between 65 and 70 miles an hour.
Yes.
So what ends up happening, and in Interstate 5, if you're not from California, if you've never been here, you think California, massive freeways, 10 lanes. Interstate 5 through most of the state of California is two lanes in each direction.
Yes.
This is the same as Interstate 91 in Vermont.
Yep.
Except in Vermont, everybody has the same fucking speed limit. So what happens is you get the one truck driver who's going 55 and then the one behind him who wants to go 58. Yeah. So he pulls out in front of everybody. The speed limit's 70. We're all going 78. And then we all have to jam on our brakes. So not only does that happen, then some fucking peckerwood comes flying up along the right side and then cuts into any little hole that he can find. Which then causes everybody to have to hit their goddamn brakes again.
It's a domino effect that goes miles and miles down the road.
I've lived that so many times driving back and forth between San Diego.
It makes me so fucking angry.
But, you know, and it sucks though. I mean, like, because there's one thing I get what the drivers are doing, what the truck drivers are doing. They work off each other. So one of them takes the hit for the gas fuel for the first,
and the other's trail behind,
and then they'll flip it a little bit. And
that's great. They don't need a different speed limit.
Oh, so your grievance is really about the different speed limit.
It's the fucking speed limit and the peckerheads who zoom up on the right.
I hate those guys.
Fuck those guys. Fuck you. Yeah. Wait back there. Your turn. You cocksucker.
Yeah, those douchebags need a fucking I see them, and I don't wish for people getting accidents. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I hope he gets an accident when he gets up there.
I actually had that happen where I saw someone doing that, and I wished it, and I saw it happen. I felt terrible. Yeah. It was scary, dude. Yeah. Almost
that's
traumatic.
That's your sensitive side. You're like, you fucker.
I'm like, you fucking deserved it, bitch.
Is he dead? Is he dead? No? All right, well, fuck you then.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, too. Yeah.
I didn't know if he was dead or not until months later. The car flipped over, and there was an arm hanging out the window. I called 911. It was scary, dude.
Seriously, part of me, when they do that, really wants to just do a quick weave out to the right and just clip them as they go by to spin them off the road.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Pit maneuver. When I was at my heightened hormonal stage, you know, like 15, like
when
I was,
you were, when you're on your what your estrogen?
I'm on my period, you know. No, I was like 20 years old, you know, my balls were getting as big as they could get, and I'm just like
before they drop,
you know, I had a lot of aggression.
Those were very bad times.
Bad times. And I remember people would do this kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I was driving my junky ass car. I kept a little cup holder full of pennies. I'd have my window down. If they did that, bam, I'm throwing pennies at your window, dude.
Well, are you a fucking idiot?
Yes.
Yes.
That is like the stupidest fucking thing I've
guess
ever
what,
heard.
Guess what, dude? Guess what? All they ever did was flip off and then drive away in shame because they knew that they deserved it.
No, but what the fuck, dude?
I lived in the shithole part of Fairfield, too, where there was drive-by shootings in broad daylight.
I ain't even
afraid, bro. You piss me off like that, bring on the bullets, dude, because I'm throwing pennies at your car.
You know, before you said that, Sam, I should have played this. Oh, it's not going to play now. God damn it.
Oh, my God.
I have a grievance with that button.
You're lucky that he stopped.
You're just jealous that you never had the guts.
All right, how about this? This is better.
Oh, no, you didn't.
There we go.
I did it.
It's a little less strong.
I threw a AA battery at a car once.
You're a fucking asshole.
No, they deserved it. You know it. You've wanted to do that before.
I would.
You fantasized, but you didn't have the balls to do it.
No, it's not about having the balls to do it. It's about having the common sense to know that you could fucking get yourself a fucking huge ticket for fucking throwing something out of a fucking moving car. True.
That would be the worst that could happen.
The guy has a fucking gun and turns around and shoots you. You might say that you're all
about guess
the
what?
Life.
I'm guessing
you
these guys probably did have guns, and they probably thought I had a bigger gun if I had the balls to do that.
I think that that is faulty logic.
I got away with it all six times, and it felt fucking great.
I'm glad you're alive, bro.
Thanks.
Me too. Are you sure you're not from Philadelphia? Because those are Philadelphia asshole moves.
That is it. Maybe I got some Philly blood in
you,
there.
You
know.
Might. All right, so Amy Schumer got her panties all in a wad.
Again?
Yeah, well, some guy was kind of a dick. And basically what he did was he... I'm trying to find the exact post here where she went off. It's probably been deleted now. But she came out because one guy... turn you off. Apparently, this one guy rushed up and said, a man has just run up on the street and scared the shit out of me. Put a camera in my face. I asked him to stop. He said, no, it's America and we paid for you. Which is a dick move to say.
Yeah, it is.
She added, I was saying stop and no. Great message to your kids because this guy did it in front of his kids. Yes, legally you're allowed to take a picture of me, but I was asking you to stop and saying no. Then she added, I will not take pictures with people anymore because of this dude in Greenville. And posted a photo of him.
Oh,
really?
No.
Really? I get that you're pissed at this dude, and I'm totally down with you publicly shaming him. Right. But then to go, I'm not ever taking pictures with anybody again. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you pretentious. That's pathetic. That's just horrifically pretentious.
Yeah.
By the way, people who pay money to go out and see you, no, they didn't pay for you, but they did pay to go out and see you. They're fans of you, and yeah. It's going to make their fucking week just to, after the show, go up and get a picture with you.
Right.
And you're going to be like, I'm never taking a picture with people again.
If she thinks she's at that point in her career, she is mistaken.
Well, but at the same time, can you give her the benefit of the doubt that, like, you know, a lot of the using Twitter and shit like that is so in the moment that you're so fucking upset and so seething that you can be like, I'm never fucking going to do this again. You've gotten like that before just in like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't put it on the social media sphere. But, I'm very thoughtful on my social media space.
He's very thoughtful when he throws batteries at people.
I think.
Yeah.
I said social media space. Real world's a whole different story.
I was okay with her posting a picture of the guy, calling him an ass or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the fact that he didn't understand why she was upset was like, okay, you really are a dumbass.
Yeah.
But right now I think she thinks too highly of herself.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I mean, she's in a very good place in her career, but one of the reasons why is because of fans.
Yeah.
And once you start pissing off fans, it can go downhill very quickly.
So quickly. Yeah.
So I hope she smartens up on this because it's really dumb.
Yeah.
And I think she is funny, and I get losing your shit, but then you got to back off on it and go, look, yeah. I was having a shitty day.
Yes.
This guy scared the fuck out of me on the street.
And she did. I think she did go back and say.
I think she did. Yeah.
She will take pictures with people that are nice, but not people like this.
If I say no and you keep pushing, you're going to ruin it for everyone at that venue. Maybe say something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, this was out on the street.
Right.
Yeah. And this guy's an asshole. I'm not even. I mean, to be like, we paid for you. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off, dude. And you're out in the middle of the street. You didn't just pay to see her show.
Right.
You didn't just drop $100 to watch her do an hour of comedy. Yeah. You ran up to her on the street.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody needs to just fuck right off.
Yeah. Fuck right off, all you fuckers.
Hey, welcome to the Monday show. We swear here. Hey, speaking of telling people to fuck right off, The View took on Larry Wilmore using the N-word at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And I saved this for Monday because I knew Kareem might have some thoughts, too.
When you have the first black president of the United States sitting there, having enjoyed two terms of a presidency, was so disrespectful, was so inappropriate. Something that I talked about it a lot on CNN. Don Lemon and I got into this infamous argument about just the use of the N-word in the African-American community. Well, and I'm not a black man, I understand that black men use it, but to me, it just,
if you can't read the room, you shouldn't be doing that gig. Because there was a number of jokes that Obama had already covered
that
you should have ticked off your list.
Would that have been appropriate?
It doesn't matter if you read it all. Reading the room or not.
Well, I'm sorry. I think there are 5 comics that would have done that word a lot better.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Michael Richards, Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, wait, no.
In relationship to that word. I love that the kids have taken that word and pooped all over it and said, now try something else on me, because that word doesn't work anymore. Because, you know, that word stops everybody.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the kids have taken that word and said, look, you can't get us with that. Try something
but
new.
But can you really ever sanitize that word?
Yes,
can
unless
you,
really
you know, Chris Rock had been up there.
Yes, you can. I
it would have
worked. Can. But that's my opinion.
Well, it's interesting because Twitter was ablaze.
I don't know that I would have suggested to anyone to end their peace
with a black president.
With anybody.
I would have.
But you know what?
With anybody.
Any comedian that does that gig, though, that is a thankless job.
It is a thankless job.
That audience
but he didn't
looks
help
like
himself.
No, but that I was there a couple of years ago, yeah. And I've been there. That audience looks like it's sitting shiva half the time.
Well,
they are.
It's
like
a tough crowd because what a crowd. Members of the media and journalists.
Who died?
Yeah.
Who
Wolf
died?
Blitzer,
Wolf Blitzer looked. He was. Wolf Blitzer was
except
like in an urn.
Had everybody.
So, too many vaginas chattering at once.
It was a lot, but there was one chick. I have no idea who she is. She's
Sunny something. There,
she's right. African American. She was very offended. Well, I'm very offended.
That's because you're not supposed to do stuff like that.
I'm very offended.
Company. You're supposed to act proper in front of white folks.
And right. And Whoopi, very different sort of theory on this. You know, and at the time during the thing, CNN actually put up a thing asking, "Is Larry Wilmore funny now?"
Here's the thing, Larry's not a comedian, but he's not a stand-up comic anymore.
Right.
And so
he took the gig, dude.
He took the gig. But fuck, if it's the last, White House Correspondents' Dinner for the first sitting black president,
We're not going to have another black president.
We're not going to have
at least
another
4 years.
For at least 4 years.
At least.
Or 40 years.
Who knows?
I would say.
And a mule.
Hell yeah, I would have did it. I would have totally went there. And everything that he did, oh, hell yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, you let them bastards off easy. I would have fucking ripped the room.
I want to know what exactly the context was of his joke. Was he just saying, like,
he
a degrading statement?
No,
or was
no,
it
no,
like,
no,
hey,
no.
My
he,
boy? Kind of
was talking
yeah,
like he was
said,
his boy. Yeah.
Well, then,
he said,
fucking A.
Wait, he said, my nigga, you did it.
See?
Yeah, so I'm like, oh,
come
yeah.
the fuck on.
That is it. So I was like, fuck y'all. And that was it. And because the best part about him doing that was because President Obama could not be black
right.
his whole term because
right.
it would upset white people.
Uh-huh.
So he had to ride the line of being...
Don't be too black.
Yeah, don't be too black.
Right.
Be the non-threatening black guy.
Right.
As much as he could through the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So for him, it was like, oh, so President Obama probably wanted to say something similar.
Yeah.
Well, he dropped the mic.
But
I wish you would have said something back, though. Yeah.
But Larry was like, Larry's like, I'm saying this for you just
right,
so that
totally.
They know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, my nigga, you did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Larry Wilmore, like, Larry's friends with Obama. Like, he's. Yeah, he's like
he's not just like, hey, Mr. President. They had some kind of relationship.
No, they have a relationship. Yeah. Yeah. They were friends.
Well, don't all black guys have a relationship, Kareem? Whenever you encounter a black guy, don't you give him a knowing nod?
Especially when you're in a place where you know that that might be the last black guy you see for 100 miles.
Yeah.
You give them a knowing nod.
That's funny, dude.
And they give you a knowing nod and be like, yeah, stay right where the fuck you are. Do not go out of town. Get your ass back on the freeway. Do not go any further out.
That's funny.
Well, all right, it's time to move off of that and move on to some Kirk
yes.
Cameron news.
Fuck you, Mike Siever. Mike Siever can suck a fucking cock.
Okay, settle down, Jace.
Sorry.
Hold on. No.
Hold on. Sorry.
Get it under control.
Sorry.
Kirk Cameron says that the key to a successful marriage is a submissive wife. The former child star turned evangelical Christian is currently on a nationwide marriage tour where he's giving his advice to couples and said that a man and a woman each have a specific role in every relationship. That's fair. He said, and I quote, "Wives are to honor and respect and follow their husband's lead, not to tell their husbands how he ought to be a better husband. When each person gets their part right, regardless of how the spouse is treating them, there is hope for real change in the marriage." Cameron said during his interview, a lot of people don't know that marriage comes with instructions, and we find them right there in God's word. He went on to offer advice to husbands as well, mainly that they should not argue with their wives when they have disagreements because it hurts both parties. Oh, hold on. Perfect. I believe it's a Flintstones wedding. He also said these arguments make it difficult for their children to go on and have healthy relationships. Thinking you're going to win an argument, you end up losing. It's a no-win situation. In order for you to win, your husband or wife has to lose. When they lose, you've not built up your marriage. You've really cut them down.
That's positive. Like that, I mean, that. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. Sometimes, like, there's truth in
right.
that.
That last little thing he was saying, I was like, yeah, there's some truth there. I can say from experience that watching parents argue only affects the children in a negative way.
No, you should not argue in front of your kids. Yeah, that's just not, like, that's stupid. Parenting 101.
So good. You're coming around to his way of thinking. Mm-hmm. He said when couples start arguing and fighting in front of kids, dads cut mom cuts dad, and the kids bleed. Yeah. They say that it damages them.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
The kids get to marriage, they will follow the patterns they see. He later added, there is only one person on the whole planet you can change, and it's not your spouse.
It's yourself.
Yeah. That's right. See, you've all come around to thinking.
He started
like
out
Kurt
like
Cameron.
An idiot, but he came around to some sound.
No,
truth
but
there.
But no, but still, it's coming out with the fact that, like,
hey, Nate, yeah. What did they all have in common?
What?
You just did it.
Oh, this.
That's it, right there.
The whip.
You know, right.
Jason is horribly offended.
You know, Jason's balls are on top of his. Where did she put them at in the new house?
In the freezer. They're on ice. They're on ice.
Yeah. No, she has them. She has them like in the sock drawer next to her vibrator.
No, that's no. You know. Seriously though, like, come on.
You know,
and Mr. Pink Panties over here. You know.
Hey, I have me and my girl. We have very mature arguments, if you would, where. It's almost like there's a, it's like we don't need a judge with a gavel because we know when we're getting out of line and we present our case.
We don't need a judge with a gavel because she gives you that look and you're like, yes, dear.
In case
no, I don't bow. If there's something that I believe to be a certain
thing. I wish Leslie was here and I could pull her.
OT.
I haven't said anything either way.
OT.
Oh, you except using the sound effect of the whip.
Well, yeah, because you immediately went all the way off the deep end.
Because because just saying right there in the beginning about being submissive, I don't care if you play it every time that I say submissive. That's just ridiculous. Like, and to say, like, the directions are in the Bible of how to have a good marriage. I mean, like, come on. It's just not, but at the same time, that's his belief. And it's his belief.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No, I do not.
I don't understand how this guy has become an authority in any of this.
Look,
he was a child star actor.
He studied God's word. He's found his niche. He's found his niche, and he's gone into it. Yeah. And here's the promo for the Love Worth Fighting For marriage event if you're interested in attending.
Is that hellfire?
It is. Do you know what to fight for? Money, job, family, friends, health, possessions, security, time, forgiveness, religion, politics, trust, passion, patience, loyalty, kindness, hope, honesty,
breathing.
What about love?
What about it?
Join us for an incredible event designed to strengthen and fireproof.
No, they didn't.
Love, relationships, and marriages. An event full of worship, laughter, teaching, prayer, love.
Didn't they already say love?
Featuring Kirk Cameron, featuring Warren Barfield. This event is perfect for singles, couples, troubled relationships, everyone.
Everyone!
Feed Your Faith presents Love Worth Fighting For marriage event. Tear down the barriers. Come together around the gospel. Build up your marriage and family. Join us.
The music sounds like the trailer to Scorpion King.
For tickets and information, loveworthfightingfor.com.
Wow.
The fact that they what was that line that they said, the love marriage event? Like, like, could they not come up a better, like, title for the event? Right. Like, the love marriage
love
event.
Love marriage event.
This is so big that they're going to be doing it twice on back-to-back days in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sold out.
In Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Twice.
I know where I will never buy a house. Or
well, that's
live.
That's because that's the closest thing to a Hollywood star going to be rolling in that neck of the woods.
That's part of it.
So everyone's like, let's go see him.
You know, but that's
because the women there know that they should submit to their husbands.
Oh, I guess you're right. You're right. They do have that straight.
They're also going to be in Las Vegas at Shadow Hills Church on September 18th.
Las Vegas.
Maybe Leslie and I can go. It's a couple months before the wedding. That's time, dear. Let's go. Let's make our way to Las Vegas to see Kirk Cameron talk about how you should be submissive.
Oh my God, you should.
That is your wedding, your marriage counseling.
Listen, the VIP is $50. That's the VIP.
That's not bad.
With tickets, would include sitting in the VIP section, access to the VIP only autograph session.
Oh my God.
And a pre-event Q&A with Kirk from 3:15 to 3:45.
It's worth it for that $50. Like, it'd be worth it just to go so I could sit in the front row, like, sit there and ask questions like, hey, so in that episode of Growing Pains where Mike Seaver, like, thought that he might have AIDS, like, did you have gay sex in that one? Or I would just say,
right,
get
just
get
him freaking out.
Yeah. I would get kicked
so
out.
So when is the curly mullet coming back? We're all wondering.
What? Do you feel bad about Boner?
Yeah. Well, how's Boner doing? Yeah,
he committed suicide, Jason. Oh.
That's exactly what my boner would do.
He's dead. Now, during coverage of Sunday's Broad Street run back in Philadelphia, that's a week ago Sunday, NBC10 ran among a slew of Twitter-submitted messages to runners a message on a scroll congratulating Haywood and the entire Jablomi family. That's right. Congratulations to Haywood and the entire Jablomi family. You know, Haywood Jablomi. Congratulations. The original tweet that spawned it, a new personal record. Congrats to Haywood and the entire Jablomi family on another successful hashtag IBX run 10 at NBC Philadelphia.
Wow.
So apparently the hashtag was all it took. And by the way, the Twitter page that did it, it's a picture of an egg. So it's not
nothing
even
to do with anything.
Yeah, it's just a fucking spam bot.
That's
thing.
Funny.
All right, it's almost time to wrap up this fucking Monday show. So
no!
Oh, it is.
Shit on my face and call me Sally.
All right.
And now the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place.
What happened?
It's time for small town news.
He blamed it on dogs in the shoe.
Hey, speaking of dogs, plans are underway for the return of the Adirondack Wolfstock. A weekend of peace, pause, and music after a wildly successful debut last year. I'm loving it, said Cindy Mead, secretary of the Tri-Lakes Business Alliance of organizing the event. This is my thing. At the top of her to-do list is to get more vendors. We need pet groomers, fence companies, a pet photographer, and dog trainers, as well as other vendors who may be interested in attending. Anything that's pet related. We could really use someone who sells tie-dye. They would do really well.
Oh!
Last year, the event drew 3,000 guests over the weekend, along with 1,000 dogs. The tally was estimated, but this year's $1 admission charge will give organizers a better idea of attendance. Backed by popular demand will be the My Dog Has Talent Show, Hudson Valley Dock Dogs, Beantown Disc Dogs, and Adirondack Save a Stray and North Shore Animal League. Doggy Fun Zone, an agility and lure chasing outfit, will be on hand from Florida. Several animal blessings will take place throughout both days. By Kirk Cameron. No, that's not true. He's not going to be there. The State Police Canine Unit will show some of the handlers and dog training skills in action. Kareem, I would stay away from that one then if I were you.
Yeah, I think I will.
The fun takes place June 18th and 19th. The schedule is as loose as your mom, with Saturday's fun expected to start around 9 a.m. That evening, visit Wolfstock Revisited on the Mill Pond and Brant Lake with live music, light show, vendors, food, and glow-in-the-dark beach balls and frisbees in the pond, along with a bonfire for charity.
A bonfire for charity.
Hey, a bonfire for charity. This is small town news, by the way.
How does a bonfire for charity work?
I don't get it.
And why would they make such a disparaging comment about my mom?
No idea. Sunday's activities are expected to run from about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Vendor space, if you're interested, is $50 for the entire weekend. A bargain at twice the price. For more information, contact Cindy Mead at 321-0076 or cmead3@nycab.rr.com.
Just do it.
That's so. There's literally a newspaper article saying, "Hey, we need people to come out and be vendors at the dog show."
Dude, there's a tie dye kit at Walmart for like $5. I can go sell hella tie dye. Make some bucks.
Let's do it, bro.
You also have to cover. You also have to cover your trip to New York.
Oh yeah.
Ouch. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't make money on it if there's 3,000 people and you sell some tie dye.
Yeah.
Might be a good weekend. I mean, they're gonna bless the animals. I mean,
these people are ready to drop a dollar on some tie dye if they're gonna.
Sure. You know. All these things are happening. So, anyway, that's gonna do it for Small Town News. That's also gonna do it for this episode, the uncensored episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks for putting the kids away so they don't have to be subject to Sam's terrible behavior.
Oh, my God.
His language is one thing. The behavior is totally outrageous.
Outrageous.
You're just full of it. I am just full of it.
You are.
Fucking out of control.
That's right. I'm sure that here's the best part, though. I believe, considering his age, that he cannot be prosecuted for these crimes anymore.
True, though.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, this is an entertainment show, so everything is probably made up anyway.
Yeah.
Wink. I like that.
I think you must have thrown some batteries at Jason.
Son of a bitch.
If that was you, I'm sorry, dude. You didn't have the stash then.
No, it's cool, dude. I know. They're triple A, right? No, double A.
They're double A. I'm sorry. Right. A little bit more girth.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. For Sam and Kareem and Jason, I am Nate. We'll see you on Wednesday with the radio-friendly episode. Bye-bye, everybody.
Can't wait to your bachelor party.
She was a goner, but the bitch came back. She won't stay the fuck away.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.